You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to help and encourage Christians who lead. What happens when a doctor discovers that her own medical knowledge falls short and that there is a divine healer keen to teach her? Well, this is what happened to Dr. Angela Walker, who was serving in a village in Mozambique and had no medical equipment to help a woman whose eyes were glazed over. She prayed and was thrilled to see a blind woman initially see things in black and white and then in full colour. And she discovered that the Lord had called her from natural paediatrics to supernatural paediatrics and developed a passion to see healing, physical, emotional and spiritual, in the body of Christ. This is one of many stories in her latest book, Hearts for Harvest, Discovering God's Mission for You in His Mission Field. She was a guest of mine back in 2021, so it's a welcome back to Dr. Angela Walker. So welcome back, Ange. Good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
So how's God been leading you since we last spoke?
Oh, all different stuff, actually. After my 7 years in Africa and with Iris Ministries, I just sensed that the Lord wanted me to set up a ministry called Theo Ministries. And essentially with that, it's about transforming lives, healing hearts, equipping and empowering his people, and learning how to overcome our spiritual battles. So I do that through things like online courses, leading retreats, conferences, at churches, all stuff. And actually, I'm on the local radio as well. So, and just that's just another avenue of reaching out to people, I find. And of course, writing books. So, yeah, just a variety of things, actually, I've been doing.
And you've been trained in paediatrics. And obviously, the book talks about your journey from what you might call classic medical world to a kind of supernatural medical world. Do you do any medical stuff as well alongside what you're doing?
I don't anymore, because actually when the Lord was calling me to the mission field in Africa, I felt he was saying it was a one-way ticket and I wasn't to return to the NHS. And I had no idea that I'd be running a healing ministry myself and literally going from one extreme to the other of, as you rightly say, doing natural in the NHS to supernatural, which is not just the healing of the body, but also our soul and our spirit. And of course, the great physician of all, as we know, is the Lord himself. So really, I've been learning on the job, as it were, how to heal the sick, and not just through medicines, but again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing when there's things what we call spiritual and emotional roots or to sickness and disease, and also when there's been locked in pain. And the emotional pain may manifest as a physical pain. And again, how the moment we deal with that inner emotional pain, maybe grief, trauma, rejection, hurt, whatever it may be, the moment that comes out, then the body starts to recover as well and feels loads better. So I've been on this journey of learning, and it's exactly what was in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, learning healing how the Lord did it, as well as having my background medical knowledge. But this has been, the learning curve the Lord has been taking me on with him.
So some people may be familiar, of course, with simply, someone's in pain, you pray for them, they get better. But it seems as if sometimes God takes us back to stuff that's happened in the past to deal with that as well. That seems to be your experience.
That's right. And people say, oh, time will heal wounds. But, you know, that's not truth, because the Lord will take people back into memories where things have happened in childhood. It might be trauma, might be rejection, might be abuse, might be grief. And as we invite Jesus into that memory, and he just turns it all around and transforms it. And then the person has that healing, but not only an inner healing, they have an encounter with him. And suddenly they realize he loves them. He is with them. He was there that whole time. But because of free will, that's why these things happen in our life. So it's more than just healing ourselves. It's also connecting our hearts back to Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, which is, you know, the purpose of this ministry I do. It's that connecting everyone with him as we just unblock these areas in our hearts, which are the wounds, the pains, the traumas, the disappointments, the lies, even the fears, you know, and stuff. I can give you many testimonies, but we've not got time to cover that, yeah.
Well, obviously, this is a leadership show, and as I was reflecting on the sort of things you look at in your various courses, it struck me that you have a section and a sort of foundation of your work is what's called divine sonship. And I just, can you reflect with us how divine sonship will help those who seek to lead others?
Yes, what I've learned on my personal journey with the Lord is he's transformed my heart from being someone that strives and is an achiever and seeking success, like being a consultant in the medical profession, for example, to one who learns to co-labor with him and do it with the power of his Holy Spirit. And actually what we call working from that place of resting in him or abiding in his presence. And it's what I now call presence-based ministry, which is very different to even what I was doing on the mission field. It's essentially being a Mary, not a Martha. Martha was that striver, you know, performing, etc. But Mary knew how to work from resting in Jesus's presence and like co-laboring with him. And we can do this when we know who we are as his son, his daughter. And, you know, it's being content that all that matters is how Father God sees us. It's not about how others see us. It's not about having to perform to be accepted and wanted or recognized by others. That's what I call orphan areas of our heart or our carnal nature. And it's like Paul said in Galatians 1:10, am I trying to win the approval of men or God? And if I'm trying to please men, then I'm not a servant of God. And it's like Jesus set the example, because he said, I'm about my Father's business. I'm here to do his will. So that's the thing. What is our Father's business? What is his will? And that is us co-laboring with him. And, you know, I actually learned, and it was in Mozambique, about that our ministry, our leadership role is not our identity, but our assignment. And actually, Paul speaks this in Acts 20:24. He says he must finish the ministry God has assigned to him. And it was one day, it was an amazing encounter when the Lord told me to put down my medical tool when I was doing all these medical outreaches where the sick were being healed, the captives set free, you know, people encountering the Lord. And one day he just says, Ange, put it down. And I couldn't understand it. I'm like, but Lord, isn't this the work you're calling us to do? It's like fulfilling the book of Acts. And then he said, Ange, my relationship with you matters more than what you do for me. And I didn't get it first. I didn't believe what he was telling me. And he said it again, my relationship with you matters more than what you do for me. And then a few weeks after that, when I laid down what I was doing and just took time out with him, even on the mission field, I just felt him say one day during worship, Ange, give me your cap. And it's as if, I mean, our cap all had the Iris logo on, but it was as if spiritually speaking, it had Dr. Ange on it, this cap. And, you know, I was struggled. I didn't want to take off my cap because I didn't realize that become my identity. And as I gave it him, he then said, Ange, I don't see you as a doctor, but my daughter. And that's the whole shift in me that, again, ministry is my assignment and I do it out of my relationship with him. So that's why it doesn't matter what I do, where I go, because it's as long as I'm in his will and about his business, that's all that matters. And that gives me inner fulfillment and personal contentment.
Brilliant. And I love that phrase, doctor to daughter. I think that that's got a real ring to it. So yes, thank you very much. And that is a transformative idea, isn't it? However we're leading, wherever we're leading, whether in the church, charity or commercial world or non-believing world, our identity in Christ is how we should see ourselves, and whatever the assignment might be, whatever the job is, then that flows. Thank you so much. Now, your book focuses on becoming aware of how God involves us in mission. And indeed, you have added your teaching of this in a newly developed course. So what are you going to be emphasizing when it comes to mission and sharing our faith?
You know, I believe we've all got a calling and purpose in our lives from God. And that's the thing. It's what is our mission? And we wrongly use that word mission, thinking abroad, you know, mission work, but it's local mission. It's like another word for it is what is our marketplace? Who are the people that God is calling us to reach out to in our daily life? And basically, the book helps us to unblock areas in our hearts that may be stopping us from doing this. It may be we've got fear, we've got unbelief, we've made vows, oh, I'll never do that, you won't get me, you know, doing this stuff. Because usually when we discover our calling, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help and Holy Spirit to do it, which is why he calls us, because it is a co-laboring with him. So essentially, it's just helping us to stop and think, where's my marketplace? It may be in the schools. It might be in the prisons. It may be with what you're doing at the moment with your current job or work. And equally, it may be God is saying, reach out to those in your neighborhood. You know, when you take your dog for a walk, go out for a walk, etc. But it's just discovering different tools, how we can communicate with people in what I call a naturally supernatural way, and discovering divine opportunities when it might be right to open up to them, to share something, to ask them, to give a testimony, or even say, can I pray for you? You know, especially when you just suddenly see that they're struggling or they're not well, or it might be a colleague at work, it might be someone in the family, it might be a neighbor, it might be a complete stranger, even a stranger at work, you know, or even in the street. And so this book, again, and like with the online course, it's just showing us different ways of being naturally supernatural, doing things like prophetic blessings and what I call treasure hunting, which is a fun thing. And it's just knowing how to be a blessing and literally love our neighbor, the second commandment. And the neighbor can be people, not just, you know, but people you don't know, the strangers. So it's trying to help people overcome these barriers so that reaching out is just part of our lifestyle. We don't even think twice, just like offering someone a cup of tea or coffee. We don't think twice about it.
Yeah. And sadly, many Christians have built up a bit of a mystique around it. Perhaps they've seen evangelism done in ways they would regard as unpleasant or inappropriate. And it's kind of maybe... enabled us to have an excuse for not sharing. Do you have particular ways you think Christians are shut down? They find it so intimidating?
Yeah, I know through chatting to different people, and even myself, actually, you know, I never wanted to do evangelism. Suddenly that word made me cringe. I'm just being honest here. But actually, God just got me right in the thick of it, just in a natural, supernatural way on the mission field, you know, like tell them about me. And I was just doing it without even realizing I was doing it. But I think people, that's the thing, they might have felt a pressure to do it or to step out of the comfort zone and do it a particular way, which may not have been the way, natural way that God has designed and wired them to do it. And then they think, oh, that's not for me, and like throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some may have had negative experiences, either people rejecting them or abusing them, and then thinking, right, that's it, I'm not doing that again. I remember once I even had somebody abusive when I was doing an outreach with my church. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to do this again. I said, you just got to confirm if you want me to. And he actually gave me a prophetic dream that following night and made it very clear that he was still calling me to reach out and not to be put off by abusive language from the people I may meet. Some people have fear of man, just fear speaking to the stranger, and that with that fear of rejection. And I know one lady that joined me once, she just like froze and like, Andrew, just I'm struggling to speak to the stranger. But once she did get chatting, she'd relax and, you know, the conversation would flow. So I just think we've all got to find what I call this naturally supernatural way of doing it. And it's not about getting on a stand or pulpit and shouting the gospel through a microphone or giving out tracts. It's far more than that. It's saying hello to the person when you're having a coffee in a cafe. It's chatting to someone when you're out walking or with the dog. It's just being yourselves, but being open to those that you see pass by, exactly like Jesus and the woman at the well. She didn't know him, he didn't know her, but he started conversing with her at the well and reaching out to her and telling her about his kingdom. Likewise, the apostles, they're on the way to the beautiful gate, I think in Acts 3, and Peter and John, and they're actually going to the temple to pray. They've got another agenda. They weren't even thinking of doing outreach, so to say, but they stop for that man, that crippled man who's begging. And they say, "Sil, what I have, I don't have. Silver and gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up, walk." And there and then they just offer. They minister to him. And he does. He has receives full healing. So this is the thing. It's just that stopping and reaching out and having them nudges, as it were, when to, be just saying, "Hi, you know, how are you? Can I pray for you?"
Thanks, Ange. Now, your book explores your own journey, and I was struck by how God guided you, both in moves to particular places and also to times of sabbatical and changes of work direction. So you speak in terms of sensing things in your heart. So I wonder if you can be kind enough to explore a bit more what that looks like for you. Many leaders listening are looking for direction. What have you learned about how the Lord directs you?
Yeah, I try not to let my intellect get in the way. Because as a doctor, my life was very an intellectual lifestyle and my emotions and spirit were more suppressed. And instead of allowed my heart and spirit to be engaging more with God, to listen and hear and sense and discern what's of him. For me, I felt that learning how to discern his spirit has been a journey, and just knowing when, like feeling his peace, his presence with me, maybe an inner joy or his love. And sometimes I do just sense something rather than have the words, if you like. Other times he might speak through words of scripture. I find God can speak through any way he chooses. He's spoken profoundly in supernatural ways through nature and everything. And you just know that you know it's God, because you just intellectually, you know, hang on, this isn't normal, you know. And that's the thing. It's like, for example, when I was wondering about going to Sudan, I had a fear. I'm like, God, if I go to Sudan, I'll get shot and die. I said, do you want me to go there? And instantly the fear just lifted. And his divine peace came on me. And I just knew in my heart, he was saying, I am with you. My presence goes with you. And that's all I needed to know. Just like Moses, he said, unless your presence goes with me, I'm not going. And actually, the Lord manifested, as we know, as a cloud by day, fire by night in the case for Moses. But that presence, it's us engaging heart to heart, spirit to spirit with him. And it's just learning to discover his will, his plans. Do you know, we've got to lay down our own will and plans to discover what his is. And we can say, Lord, bless me for this. And he can, but it may not be his perfect will for us. And what I've found is I've had to lay down all my agenda, all my plans and ideas, and surrender them to him and say, Lord, show me, is this your will or not? And if it is, he will enhance it. He will affirm it. He will increase them desires in my heart to do it. And if it's not, he'll take it away from me. He'll make it clear, but he'll give me his peace in exchange. And I felt that when it was like laying down my pediatric career. I said, Lord, do you want me to lay this down? And he just took the desire in my heart to do pediatrics. And instead, I just felt, and that was when I just knew, like, no, I'm to have time out with you, God, in the sabbatical. And then at the end of the sabbatical, he just put that desire back in my heart to do pediatrics again. And I was doing locum pediatrics then before he was leading me, you know, to do, to Bible college. So I find that, again, this laying down, God can make it very clear, because, again, we're coming under his will and plans. And though he shows that for me with this peace and sensing, it can be different for each one of us. But it's just knowing, it's discerning in our spirit, that stirring, when it's our spirit being stirred and not our intellect. And you learn to discern, know that's something within God. What are you doing? Where are you drawing me? Where are you leading me? And it's learning to pursue that.
Well, as we come to a close, Ange, making things a bit practical. So some next steps for listeners eager to improve their personal witness?
Yeah, I just say take a risk to step out, take a risk to speak to the people, take a risk to share your testimony, take a risk to say to people, how are you? Can I pray? Even ask the Lord, say, Lord, give me divine appointments today, maybe in your workplace, maybe in the marketplace, or when you're going shopping or out for a walk. And, you know, as we do that, just see, God may just draw your heart to someone in particular. You know, at work, even in your social life, maybe in your church. This is the co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And we just, it's learning to do it and realize it. And sometimes we may feel prompted and it doesn't happen. And other times we're prompted and it does. And God's right there. It's what I call a divine appointment, as it were, or like a God setup. So, yeah, it's just being open. And like when we see people not well or sick or the homeless, just saying, Lord, do you want me to reach out to them? And it may be practical ways. It may be through, you know, praying for them if you can't help, practical ways, as it were. So there can be all different ways. And it's just our heart being open to connect to other people with God's heart. And, you know, it's not being afraid that saying, well, what if I pray and they don't get well? A friend said that to me. What if they don't get healed, Ange? I said, well, you're not the healer. God is. I said, leave it to him. Yes. And sometimes people get healed the next day. Sometimes they wake up healed. You know, we're just a vessel. We're a vessel. Let God do that. And I've had so many testimonies when I've not seen healing on the spot, but I've heard it later. And remember, next day I woke up, I was healed. I went to the doctor and my tests were normal.
Fantastic. Well, you have some new courses coming up. So what will you be looking at, and how could people get involved?
Yeah, we're doing a Fire Academy, we're calling it, a new online school of ministry coming up in September. I think it's the 9th of September. It will be Tuesday evenings on Zoom. And it's an annual course, 3 terms, each term 2 months, 8 weeks long. And we'll be looking at the Father Heart of God, divine sonship, intimacy with him, our identity, our authority we carry as sons and daughters, and much more. We'll be looking at restoring hearts, healing our hearts, dealing with areas of trauma, grief, pain, how to forgive from the heart, again, more. And also how to equip and empower us to go in the marketplace to discover, actually, hey, I can reach out to people, and just different ways, like through treasure hunting, prophetic blessing, just knowing how to speak and to minister to them. So we'll be doing that practical, when we'll have Saturdays to meet together in Bournemouth in the morning for teaching and ministry, and then go out in the marketplace together in the afternoon and just find our way that God is calling us to reach out to people, as it were. And if people aren't in our area, they can have the teaching on Zoom on a Saturday and then go out in your local area. We want this to be a school where people from all over the country can come on board, because we're just feeling that we're in the season and time now where the harvest is ripe and the workers are few, and God is wanting to heal our hearts, draw us deeper to him, so we can get out there and minister to those around us in the public place, in our workplace, wherever.
That's terrific, Ange. And the website where people need to go to access this?
Yeah, theoministries.com, Theo, Theo Ministries. all one word, .com. That will give you all the information about the school and the application form as well, how to do it. And there is an early bird offer if you, I think you apply before August the 8th, and you can pray for the school in full or per term. And again, bring some friends on, people from church, journey with them, because this is so great doing with other people as God is transforming your heart and life and transforming theirs. It's just great when we do it corporately with the body of Christ.
Well, Ange Walker, it's been terrific to chat with you. Thank you for your enthusiasm and for your wisdom. And I trust that the course goes really well.
Thank you.
It was super to chat with Dr. Angela Walker, the author of Hearts for Harvest, Discover God's Mission for You in His Mission Field. And her website again is theoministries.com. She emphasized, among many things, the importance of identity. If you recall, she believes God saw her as a daughter and not a doctor back in the days when she was serving particularly as a doctor. I doubt such talk is new to you, but how tough it is when your leadership title is how people typically see you, with all the expectations that go with that. But primarily, we are sons and daughters first. The assignment may be to serve as a leader for a season within the role that you occupy, but that doesn't define you, doesn't define me. And so much stress and worry comes from misunderstanding our identity. So maybe we need to remind ourselves what Scripture says about us, that we live with the Father's smile and His affirmation, that we're sons and daughters of the living God. So do check out her course, theoministries.com. The online course includes some look at our identity in Christ and as the Father's children. So maybe you could investigate that. As always, there are plenty of leadership shows on archive if you want to look back at the back catalogue. So go to the Premier.plus website or app, get it downloaded on your phone, and you can get regular material from Premier there. The Leadership Show used to be known as the Leadership File, so you can type in the Leadership Show into your Premier Plus app, or you can also go to Spotify, Podbean or Apple and get archive shows, both of the Leadership Show and its former name, the Leadership File. So plenty for you to look through particular topics and speakers that may be of interest to you. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward very much again to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.